Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, welcome to Skies Revival Radio. We're glad you could join us today. This is Tom from the Sky Family. We're nearing the end of our study of the Gospel of Matthew, one of the most powerful books in the Bible, one which I recommend everyone to read and study thoroughly. We often challenge people to take the 30-page challenge. Read the Gospel of Matthew for yourself. It will really change your world. You think you know the gospel, but you don't. Well, none of us do. Jesus' words are so clear, and they stand so far apart from all that we hear and all that we think we know. So please Take this challenge. Read the Gospel of Matthew. You can surely make time for that. It's only 30 pages long. Read a page a day for a month. It will really change your world. It will really get you on a firm foundation. We're going toward the end of the gospel today. We're going to Matthew 26, verse 39. While Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, "And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And yet, not as I will, but as you will.'" This verse is the sum of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. It is saying to the Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." It is surrendering our own will and our own agenda in order to accomplish God's will and God's agenda. It's making a transition to actually obeying God, even when it costs us, even when it's unpleasant. And God asks many unpleasant things of us. He asks many things that are contrary to our carnal, selfish, pleasure-seeking nature. And that's where we either buck his will and his agenda to do our own thing, or we buckle down and say, "Yes, Lord, not my will, but your will be done." There are not many in our age that are willing to do that, but God wants you to be one of them. If you're listening to this program, it's because God wants you to become one of those who is willing to do God's agenda instead of your own. God wants to make you an old-fashioned Christian, full of old-fashioned revival fire, willing to go to the cross for the sake of the gospel. When Jesus was facing the cross, his flesh recoiled from it exactly like ours. He had no natural inclination that wanted to be whipped, mocked, beaten, or hung up to die on a cross. His flesh was so repulsed by it that Jesus actually asked the Father if there was another way. So we know that it was an exceedingly difficult trial for him. And when the Father gave him no other way out, Jesus said, "Father, I will go." And why did he go? Why did he leave his natural inclinations of self-preservation in order to obey the Father, going to a horrific death? He went for our sake. He went because it was the Father's will to rescue us from sin and death and hell. He went out of love and compassion for us desperate sinners. If Jesus had done what most of us would do, we would all be spending an eternity in torment. We would say, "No way, I'm not going to the cross. That's not God's will. God's will for me is that I would be blessed with every good thing. God doesn't want me to suffer. God wants me above all things to prosper and be in good health. I'm not going to the cross. No way." And so we all would have been lost. Now, God's will is to ultimately bless us with every blessing, and he will abundantly fulfill every promise he has made to us. However, there is one thing that stands between us and all the riches of his blessing, and that is the cross. William Penn, who founded Pennsylvania, said it most eloquently. He said, "No cross, no crown, no gall, no glory." His book, No Cross, No Crown, is well worth finding and reading. It's the missing element in our watered-down, self-centered 21st century version of the gospel. We have made the way of salvation a very broad way that all can enter. We require nothing of those who come to receive the gift of salvation. It's come as you are, stay as you are, no change required. We have invented a cross-less gospel that requires nothing of us. We can continue in our worldly, fleshly lifestyle and not have it encroached upon by the church. We can love the world and the things of the world and still have Christ and his eternal salvation. In fact, we're even taught that the more we are esteemed by the world, the more evident it is that we are the apple of God's eye. But these are not things taught by Jesus in the old-fashioned gospel. The old-fashioned gospel says, "Love not the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's not heard very often today, is it? No wonder the old gospel has fallen out of favor. Who wants a gospel that requires us to go to the cross when we can have one that allows us to do everything we want to do without any restriction? Jesus said, "We'll be hated by all on account of his name." He said, "If anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me." He said, "Count it all joy when men revile you and say all manner of evil against you on account of my name." And so the cross is central to becoming a true disciple of Jesus. Hear me when I say this. Jesus did not go to the cross so we wouldn't have to endure any pain or conflict or suffering. He went to the cross to lead us so we could follow him to the cross. This is ageless Christianity. This is the Christianity of the Bible and of the true disciples throughout all the ages. We are to follow Jesus to the cross. Now, don't misunderstand me. When Jesus went to the cross, he purchased our salvation that through his blood and suffering, we could have the penalty of hell removed from us. Nothing we could do could ever accomplish that. However, part of that glorious salvation is that we would become like him in character. That Jesus would be the first of many brothers and sisters. The Father's plan is to conform us to the image of Christ. And to do that, he must subject us to many things that are difficult and unpleasant. We must learn to obey God when it costs us, when it's unpleasant. If we would become like our master, we must also learn to put to death the things that are displeasing to God. We must allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and search out the things that are contrary to his will. So real revival is this, that we allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts to find all that is worldly and compromised and bring it to the altar. We are to put it on the altar and allow God to burn it up. This is a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. It is well-pleasing to God when we examine our pastimes and we find we are spending great blocks of time sitting in front of ungodly entertainment, being pumped up with all worldly excitement and willfully listening to every blasphemous thing. It is well-pleasing to God when we bring it to the altar and say, "Lord, here I am. I have been squandering my life. I have not been about your work. I have been vegging out in front of the TV instead of serving you. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to start doing your will instead of mine." This is a person who's becoming a real Christian. That's a person who is experiencing real revival. Listening to these revival messages won't do anything for you. You'll never be changed until you begin to actually take steps to start obeying God. God wants you to put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth, as it says in Colossians chapter 3. And do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self. That is becoming a new person in Christ. That is the practical outliving of the gospel, putting aside the old self, the old worldly ways, the way we were before we met Jesus. We are to be dead to immorality, to impurity, to passion, to evil desire, and to greed, which amounts to idolatry. Again, that's Colossians 3. If we are to be dead to immorality and impurity, how can we spend hours each day being stimulated in every lustful thing and think that God is okay with it? He isn't okay with it. These things pollute our souls. They make us corrupted in our hearts, and they make us useless for the work of God. These things must go to the cross. It might seem impossible to you. It might seem like it's a thing that we can't attain to. But this is age-old Christianity, and many, many people have lived for many centuries without TV or iPhones or computers or anything else, and they have lived to walk in the steps of Christ, and they are in glory right now. We must pick up our cross and follow Jesus. We must put on our new nature in Christ, which is to have our thoughts fixed on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. All these things are found in Colossians chapter 3. Please read that when you get a moment. I want to conclude with a quote from William Penn's book, No Cross, No Crown. He says, "The Christian who is not dead to the world and the heathen are of the same religion, and the deity they truly serve is the God of this world." He goes on to say that their thoughts are all about this present life, and while they are living completely contrary to the will of God, are also completely confident of their standing with God and are totally secure while living contrary to the spirit and nature of God. There are many like that today, many in the church that are confident in their standing with God while living a lifestyle that does not conform to the death of Christ. We have not picked up the cross. We have not examined our heart to see where we are offending the Spirit of God. We have not allowed these things to be brought to the altar so that they can be crucified in our lives, that we could put on the new nature of Christ. All these things are only the beginning steps of becoming actually useful to God. If we aren't willing to put aside our worldly pleasures and comforts and security in order to obey God, if we aren't willing to take the tiniest steps to learn to love God more than the world, more than anything else, how could God actually ask hard things of us? How can He ask us to go to the cross for the sake of others? How can we be useful to Him if we can't leave the comfort and security of our own little selfish world? God wants to clean us up by bringing all of our sins and our compromise, our worldliness and our selfishness to the altar. But His ultimate end is that He might use each one of us to reach others. And this is something that requires death to self. God wants to use you. Yes, He wants to use you. And these little tiny steps are what is going to make you useful to Him. God is able to use the weakest and the least of the vessels, but we must be surrendering our will to Him, and we can all do it. We're very resistant, but all we have to do is say, "Lord, I have these things in my life. I am totally addicted to my entertainment. I am addicted to my sports. It consumes my thoughts and all of my time. Lord, but I want to learn to love you above everything in the world. Would you please help me? Would you please burn these things up in my life? Please help me to learn to love you. The person who prays like that is a person who is becoming the revival of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this is the hardest task for us, to lay our will down and to follow you to the cross. This is the hardest thing, and we are so resistant, and none can do it except by the Holy Spirit. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give us the power to lay down our selfish nature, lay down our distracted worldly pastimes, that we might become disciples following Jesus even to the cross. And Lord, we know this is the cross for us, is putting aside all the things we love in order to learn to love you. This is the real cross. I pray, O God, that you would accomplish this in us all, and that revival would break forth in those who are listening today, that real revival would take root and spread in many directions. Lord, we praise you that the Word of God is not dead. And today in the 21st century, we can experience the power of the gospel to change lives, starting with us. In Jesus' name, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
Great, great light, and those expression. The light, it will shine, shine on them. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, to peace and to His government.